our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise from Deuteronomy 31:8, given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua, is for you and for me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about the love of the world. The Bible says that the world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear. But the one who is following the will of God is part of the permanent and cannot die. That's from 1 John 2:17. We've been talking about two worlds, this world and the other world, the permanent. One of those passionate desires that most of us have in some form or other is a desire for distinction, here and now, a place in the eyes of men, some kind of recognition. Not many of us, I suppose, lust after fame. That seems an unattainable goal to most of us. But it would be nice to just be appreciated a little bit and to have some kind of distinction, something about which people would admire us. And what's wrong with that, you say? Well, as with everything else that the world says and everything else that the world inspires in our hearts, we need to hold it to the straight edge of Scripture. Is there anything wrong with the desire for distinction? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, there's a story of a jealous dispute that broke out among the disciples. They wanted to know who was going to rank highest. But Jesus said, "In the world, kings lord it over their subjects, and those in authority are called their country's benefactors. Not so with you." Verse 26, "On the contrary, the highest among you must bear himself like the youngest, the chief of you like a servant." The highest among you must bear himself like the youngest, the chief of you like a servant. The context of this jealous dispute was the Last Supper. Jesus had just finished telling his disciples that his betrayer was there. He said, "The Son of Man is going his appointed way, but alas for that man by whom he is betrayed." And it was right at that point that the disciples, I'm sure, missed altogether the significance of what Jesus had just said. And here they were, disputing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. "Who could it be that would betray him? Surely not me," each one of them had said. And then, who was going to be the greatest, which meant certainly the one who would be least likely to be the betrayer. Each man there at that table must have been thinking of himself as being the least likely to be the betrayer, and therefore perhaps the greatest. George MacDonald says in his book, Discovering the Character of God, "The notion of rank in the world is like a pyramid. The higher you go up, the fewer there are above you whom you must serve, and the more you are served by those beneath you. All who are under serve those who are above until you come to the apex. And there stands someone who has to do no service, but whom all the others have to serve." In the kingdom of heaven, however, the figure is exactly reversed. The pyramid is upside down. The Son of Man lies at the inverted apex of the pyramid. He upholds and serves and ministers to all. And those who would be high in his kingdom must go near him at the bottom to uphold and minister to all they can uphold and minister unto. There is no other law of precedence, no other law of rank and position in God's kingdom. And that is the only kingdom. The other kingdom, that of this world, passes away. Do you understand the distinction that we're trying to make here between loving the world, the things that pass away, and loving the eternal world, the things that never pass away? Now, I read you a poem yesterday by Edna St. Vincent Millay, one of my favorite poems of hers. O world, I cannot hold thee close enough, thy winds, thy wide gray skies. And it's a beautiful description of the beauty of the autumn. I'm sure God wants us to love everything that he has created, but not inordinately, not in a disordered way, not in a lustful way. And he doesn't want us to live only for the things of this world. He wants us to live in this world, and he wants us to be faithful with the tangible things that he's given us, our homes, our clothes, our food, our jobs, our cars, everything for which we are responsible. God expects us to, in a sense, love it, to appreciate it, to be grateful for it, and to take care of it, but not the things that the world, in the sense of people who are concerned only with this world, love it. And one of those things is the desire for rank. If my heart is absorbed with things that belong to the kingdom of God, I'm willing to stand on my head, as it were, as regards things in this world, to look at this thing that George MacDonald calls the upside-down pyramid, to aim not at being great for the sake of being great, but to aim rather at doing the truth for the truth's sake, for the love of God, for the love of my neighbor. Well, you may ask, but suppose we're put in a position of power. Suppose we're recognized and thanked and thought highly of and honored. We certainly wouldn't be human if we weren't pleased with that. But do we remember at that moment of the temptation to swelling pride that we have nothing we haven't received? That it is God who puts down one and lifts up another? Do we pray for humility and offer to him the honor or the recognition? Well, I have to tell you an amusing little story of something that happened after I'd written my first book. I was living in Shandia, the station where Jim, my husband, and I had worked together. And Jim was dead by then, and I was living there with my baby, Valerie. And when my first book came out, I knew what the publication date was in the States, but I was still there in the jungle. And so, of course, it was a long time before I was likely to hear anything about whether anybody had read the book and what they thought of it. And it's a pretty exciting thing to have your first book appear in print, and you wait for reviews and you wait for friends to say they've read the book and all of that. So I was wondering, will I get a letter? And one day I was surprised to hear from the shortwave radio that a visitor was coming in from the States. It turned out to be a minister whom I had never met, and he flew in with Missionary Aviation Fellowship plane. And I thought, well, surely this man coming fresh from the States, he will have heard of the book, and perhaps he will have read it, and he'll say something about it. Because everybody had known about the death of these five men, and I thought the whole world would be waiting with bated breath for this book, Through Gates of Splendor. Well, we walked up to my house from the airstrip, a 10-minute walk. I gave him a glass of lemonade to revive him, and he wandered around and looked out the window and looked at the beautiful view out there. And finally he turned around, and I thought, this is the moment, and he said, Mrs. Elliott, I'm sure that by this time you will have had many compliments about this view out here. Well, can you imagine how my balloon was popped? Some of you write me letters that do tempt me to swelling pride. And I have to remember when I read those letters that I have nothing that I haven't received. It is God who has given me this amazing privilege of talking on the radio daily. It's God who puts down one and lifts up another, and he can put me down any second. It is necessary for us because there is bad in us, George MacDonald says, to think about ourselves. But as we go on, we think less and less about ourselves, until at last we are possessed with the spirit of truth, the spirit of the kingdom, and live in gladness and in peace. We are prouder of our brothers and sisters than of ourselves. We delight in them. The Lord says that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And that should be the truth of each of our lives. What are we here for, after all? Are we here just for what we can do or get in this world? No, we're here for what we can be and give. Not do and get, but be and give. Like Jesus, I want to be one who ministers, not one who is ministered unto. And amazingly, when we do minister, we will find that we are ministered unto in ways we never dreamed of. The great thing is to give ourselves to Him in the light of eternity, to come to Him, to believe in Him, to offer ourselves to Him, to feed our souls on the invisible bread, the bread of life, in order that we may in turn feed a world that is starving for Jesus Christ.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.